I've heard it called the bridge. What I'm referring to is the gap or chasm between the text and the contemporary situation. How might we leap from inspiring words of scripture to the present reality? How do we treat the differences in customs, language, political situations, and scientific knowledge between the biblical writers and the situation now? How do we maintain the hopeful expectancy after so many centuries? If we look at the distance between our Hebrew Bible reading and the contemporary situation, we see a wide chasm, but one certainly worth making the leap. The chasm exists in the details and the emotions of the text. Yet the prophet Isaiah gives us a word for today. Isaiah fills this page with stirring, glorious promises. He combines imperatives with affirmations. He exhorts the readers to arise, shine. These words almost certainly came to dispirited readers. The problems of returning from the Babylonian exile had worn them down. They felt insignificant against the world powers. They seemed at the mercy of Persian bureaucracy. They couldn't get along with each other. Into that mix, the prophet Isaiah calls on the people to arise from their despair, to lift themselves up. So what can we, the people of the 21st century, do with this passage? The passage sounds out of touch and unrealistic. If one attempts to preach the surface meaning of this text, we would more likely elicit scoffs instead of deeper faith. What can we proclaim from this stirring poem is that God remains at work in the world. If we lift up our eyes, if we arise and do our ministry, we will find the ways that God acts to dispel the darkness of the world. God works among the people of the world before the church even begins its ministry. Friends, as a church community, we are called to be witnesses to God's grace and hope, things that the world desperately needs. The climactic passage in our gospel this evening, with its rich metaphor and intense interactions, aims to move us to a confession, a claiming, and a proclaiming of that hope and grace. It is the revelation that all of the great I am statements in John deliver. They manifest God for us in Christ. As is typical in John, we find an intra-Jewish, often antagonistic debate about how Jesus relates to the parent tradition. In this case, the contest is between Moses and Jesus, and the subject has to do with who's eating what and toward what end. As is the case throughout John, the primary goal is to abide in Jesus and have him and God abide in and among us. Abiding in Jesus is synonymous with living, really living. What we call truly living, John calls eternal life. In these verses, where Jesus picks up on feeding by speaking of giving his flesh to eat, his concern is less with getting his hearers to understand as getting them to eat. Jesus promises rather than instructs or explains. Jesus promises that whoever eats the flesh and drinks the blood of Jesus, the Son of humanity, has eternal life now and will be raised up on the last day. Jesus promises to provide food for the life of the world. Jesus promises to nourish the world with the gift of himself. His incarnate life and very real death on the cross is life-giving food for us and for the world. Through Christ's sacramental giving of himself, he moves us closer to God's self, so close that we are as intimate with Jesus as God is with the Christ. More than explaining things, Jesus promises new life and wants us to believe. Jesus is indeed the embodiment of grace and hope for the life of the world. Amen.